It's an awesome day. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I thank God for you all. I thank God for my brother. Amen. Pastor Terry. Praise the Lord. Amen. And it's just great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. He asked me to bring a devotional message this morning. I did. I had something else I was going to talk about, but as I was sitting there, I believe the Lord has kind of changed it because there were several other churches I could have went to this morning, but I just didn't feel led to go to those, and there's nothing wrong with those ministries. I just felt led to come here because of a sense of connection, but also believe, you know, that I was drawn to come here this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I won't be before you long. I just want to share from John chapter 12, verse 32, just one passage of scripture, and I'm just going to speak on a few minutes about that. John chapter 12, verse 32 says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, would draw all men unto me. These are the words of Jesus. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, would draw all men unto me. John chapter 12, verse 32. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we honor you, we praise you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you the honor and the glory, Father God. Father God, I thank you for another opportunity to stand before your people, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the preached word on this morning, Lord. Allow me to decrease, you increase in me. I seek a fresh anointing at this very minute, this very hour, this very second, Lord, to just bring this devotional message with power, authority, and conviction, Heavenly Father. Have your way, Lord. Continue to be glorified in all that we're doing here this morning, Father God. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross for our sins and rose on the third day. Heavenly Father, he's coming back again for a church without or spot or wrinkle, Heavenly Father. And Father God, if there's anything I have forgotten, I ask that you bring it to my remembrance, Lord. And Father God, Lord, before the end of the service, Heavenly Father, after we've preached the last word, before we prayed the last prayer, before we sung the last songs, may souls be added to the church, such as shall be saved. May lives be transformed. May people be encouraged. In Jesus' name we pray. Let every heart say amen. In John chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus is talking about being lifted up. We're living in a day and age where it seems like everything else and everyone else but Jesus is being lifted up. When we turn on TV, we see them talking about material possessions. We see them talking about money being lifted up. Some people even bring praises unto themselves. In this passage of scripture, Jesus, he makes a statement, the words that come from him. He says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth. And the key words right there are I. Not I as in us, not I as in you and I, but Jesus is talking about himself. Each and every day we go about our day where other things are being lifted up. People are facing problems, they're facing situations in their lives. Some are not saved, but when we come before people, we need to lift up Jesus. We need to lift up Christ because Christ is the answer. This morning I came, I really was going to talk about that you're not alone. But when I start to think about that, even Jesus, our Lord and Savior, he was lifted up on the cross. He says, if I be lifted up, thank you, Jesus, lifted up from the earth, would draw all men unto me. And even in that lifting up on the cross, and I'm going to tie that in with this passage of scripture, Jesus felt a sense of being alone at one time in his life because he said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? We have many people going about life, going about day to day in their lives. They feel like they are alone. They feel like no one cares. They feel like God has forsaken them or God has forgot about them. And there may be somebody here this morning. I want you to know this morning that you are not alone. I want you to know this morning that Jesus was not only lifted up because he had to die on a cross for our sins, he was lifted up to draw all men unto him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Ghost, because you lifted your Son up. You lifted your Son up that we may be lifted up. You lifted your Son up to give us hope. Amen. There are many people struggling with depression, struggling with loneliness, but they have no one to lift them up. Have you ever been in a situation or had a time in your life where you felt like you needed to be lifted up? Father God, I have all these problems. I'm at the job. Nothing is going right. I need to be lifted up. Jesus was on the cross. He felt a sense of separation from his Father. But although Jesus was on the cross, there were many people standing at the foot of the cross. Jesus could see those people, but he was still alone. What you saying, brother pastor? Father God, I see people every day. Maybe I'm in a sanctuary amongst all these people. I see these people, but I'm still alone. We must understand that Christianity was not designed for us to be alone. Jesus, we are a family of God, my brothers and sisters. 1 Corinthians 12 and 21 says, "And I cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." Jesus is lifted up. He's telling us right here, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. We see people every day who need to be lifted up. Thank you, Lord. The question is, are we telling them about Jesus? Or are we being like the Levite priests in the parable of the Good Samaritan? We see them and we leave them on the side of the road to die. Brother Pastor, I need to be lifted up. Christ is the one who's going to lift us up. Christ is the one who's going to encourage us. And guess what? Jesus wants to work through each and every one of you to encourage somebody else, to lift somebody else up, to tell them that God has not forgotten about them, to tell them that Jesus loves them, that tell them there is a better way, there is a way, and his name is Jesus. So as I get ready to go to my seat, he says, and I, if it's a small word, it has a condition. If we want to see others lifted up, we're going to have to tell them about Jesus. If I, not if Brother Luckett's lifted up, not if you're lifted up, not if the greatest leaders or doctors are lifted up, if Jesus be lifted up from the earth, because the Lord has drawing power, see? If there's no drawing power, we cannot be lifted up as well. We cannot be encouraged, amen. So we need to pour from the drawing power of Jesus, speak the words of Jesus, share the scriptures with them in order for them to be encouraged, amen. So in the midst of our speech, in the midst of our conversation, we need to be lifting up Jesus. Not telling people what they want to hear. Well, brother, you're going to be all right. Well, sister, you're going to be all right. Son, daughter, you're going to be all right. No, you need Christ. Years ago, I was in a situation where I needed to be lifted up. I was back in the world back then. I received all this worldly advice. Oh, do your best. You know, if I were you, I would do this. And when I look back to the advice that I received, it was some of the dumbest advice that I'd ever received. But I didn't know any better. I was agreeing with it. But it was not until one person said, "You need Jesus." Oh, man. They said, "You need Jesus." They said, "Christ is what you need. Christ is who you need." And when I received Christ, not only was I saved, I was lifted up as well. Amen. Jesus was not lifted up for us to stay down. He was lifted up so that we could be lifted up, so we could be drawn unto him, so we could be lifted up out of sin, set free from sin, so we could be encouraged, amen, so we could be hope, so that we could have hope, amen. So I want to encourage you, when you go out through your week, have the spirit of discernment. When you encounter somebody that may be depressed, when you encounter someone that may be down, when you encounter someone that may be at the lowest point of their lives, give them an encouraging word to lift them up. Tell them about Christ. Because you may be their last stop. The church may be their last stop. If I don't get anything, I'm checking out. And many are in that condition because they're all alone. We were not saved just for ourselves. We're not blessed just for ourselves. We are blessed to be a blessing. You have the very words that someone needs. You have the Savior that they need. A spiritual guru won't be able to help them. A famous person won't be able to help them. It is Christ. So I just want to encourage you this morning to lift up Jesus. No matter what you do, lift him up. They may not want to hear it, but lift up Jesus. Jesus has the drawing power. You were drawn here today because of Jesus. You were saved because of the drawing power of Jesus. You have joy because of the drawing power of Jesus. You're encouraged because of the drawing power of Jesus. And be rest assured that God, he didn't forget about us. God, he didn't leave us hopeless. He sent hope, and hope is in his son, Jesus. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Let's just ask you to bless this word, Lord, that I guess has kind of been spoken here already this morning. So maybe it's just the recap, Lord, but I'll just commit it to you, Lord, and to every ear, God, that we would hear and heart would receive. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, Jesus, when he was on the cross, he made seven statements on the cross. Brother Luckett said one of them this morning, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, and that statement shows the passion that Jesus had for fellowship with his Father. I remember when Mel Gibson, what was the name? The Passion of the Christ, when he made that movie. And I remember even pastors being all excited, thinking that this movie that a Hollywood producer is going to do is going to bring revival to America. And I'm like, you know, have we come to the point where the church thinks we can't do it anymore, but Hollywood can? But anyways, never seen the movie yet to this day. I've seen little clips of it. But I know one thing is that it really focused a lot on the beating and the crucifixion of Jesus. They call it the Passion of the Christ. But in my own heart, I'm convinced, and I'm sure some of you are, his real passion was his separation. from the Father. That is what his grief was. The pain and all that he endured is one thing, but he cries out, why hast thou forsaken me? Where he, what you and I have lived in our heathen life, a separation from God, he had to experience that for the first time in his life, and it caused him to shout, oh, my God, my Father. So it really shows his love and the relationship he had for his Father. He also said on the cross, I thirst. And it shows that he truly is the Son of Man, that he is humanity. 100% man, 100% God. But he thirsted like you and I did. He said to the thief on the cross, or no, he said to the people, forgive them, for they know not what they do. His focus is on man. His focus is on man when he says, today, to the thief on the cross, you will be with me in paradise. And then he says to his mother, behold your son. He says, woman, behold your son. And to John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, he says, behold your mother. And as I was putting this together, just something stood out so powerful to me. While he's in this thing, the greatest turmoil in his life, who's he giving his attention to yet? He's still loving humanity. Isn't that awesome? You would take out the time. You're going to be with me in paradise. And he's concerned about his mother. You know, John, you and my mom, you link up now. He's your new son, and she's your new mother. And it just shows that Jesus had great concern about mankind. Jesus spoke directly to the thief. He spoke directly to Mary, his mother, and John. And who is he speaking to those? Those who are near the cross. Isn't it awesome? Those who are near to the cross. And if we want him to speak to us, we have to be near the cross. Amen. If we want to get saved, we have to go to the cross where he was lifted up. Amen. And the problem is too many of us leave that. We just need to stay there. Stay at the cross. And then he said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And it shows his utter dependence on the Lord. I've done what you've called me to do, and now it's up to you. You know, you're going to raise me from the dead. And he fully trusted the Lord. And then there was one more saying he said on the cross, and this is the one I want to preach on. It's in John chapter 19, verse 30. John 19, verse 30. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I want to read another scripture that'll be a part of this message. It's Philippians chapter 3. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible, besides Colossians chapter 3 and John chapter 3 and Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. What I want to talk to you this morning is about finishes. Finishing something, and finishes are often the end for the citizens of this world. But for believers, finishes are often the start of something greater, something better in our life. Like Abraham, there was one time, a day came, he finished waiting for his promise. His promise was born, and he finished that in his life. And now a new life started. He was going to nurture that promise. He had to raise up that son in his life. Joseph one day finished up his prison stay. And just like that, he started ruling from a palace all in a day. He finished something, but it was just the start of something even greater in his life. Moses finished being the shepherd of the sheep, and he started shepherding people when he went and observed the burning bush. Israel, one day they finished wandering in the wilderness. There was no more cloud to follow. There was no more pillar to follow. There was no more manna to fall. That's a miracle. That's some of them young ones growing up never known anything but to see the pillar of fire and the cloud every day. And every day go out and pick manna. And one day that all ended. But it wasn't over for them. It was the start of their military exploits to go on and take the promises of God, take the promised land. David, one of my favorite heroes in the Bible, he walked into the camp of the armies of Israel as a shepherd boy, and he left that day as a champion of the army. Isn't that awesome? Just like that. That's salvation. That's just how quick and abrupt it can come into our life. We're just like that, done with the old man. Scare you, Julie? I saw you. No? And just like that, finish that old life and start a brand new life. So Jesus, he had to finish. He said, I'm finished. And his finish was only the start of the greatest force this world would ever encounter, and that is the church. His finish brought about the church of Jesus Christ, a force that this world, maybe here in America, isn't very powerful, but they still do not know how to handle the church. The church is still that restraining power. It still is the voice of God to this world. It's still a prophet of God, a thus saith to this world. His finish resulted in our start. Praise God. Jesus said in John 17:4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. What was this work that the Father had Jesus to do? That work that Jesus was to do is to live a perfect life. He came and did what we could not. He even says, if your works have to be perfect if you want to enter the kingdom of God. I think we all blew that a long time ago as we were a little toddler. We blew that. But he came to live that perfect life. He has lived that perfect example of obedience. He was tempted in all ways, the Bible says, but he never caved in ever to the pressure of temptation. Because of that, he can give us the power to never cave in. He never gave in to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of the life, of life. He never obeyed the desires of the flesh. And he never took a second look at what he shouldn't. And he never had his own agenda. Sometimes we don't think there's something wrong with that, but we must be doing the will of the Lord. One day Jesus said to the people, who of you can convince me of sin? Basically saying, who of you can convince me that I'm a sinner? And who can convict him? What can you convict him of? What can you point out? If I asked you to point out some faults in me, I'm sure every one of you would have a list. Joy could have a list of them. But we could all find something wrong with each other, right? Could remember, I remember when you had that bad attitude. I remember when you did this. And we started thinking, praise God that we don't, because we're not looking to dig up dirt on anybody. But if we had to, we could find something wrong. But nobody could ever do that for Jesus. I know some people judged him falsely. But he, even Pilate, he gave the chief priests and the elders, he gave them an opportunity. Okay, what's your case? We just kind of seen that happen on TV this week. No evidence or nothing, but people are quick to say, well, he just did it because he's a man. Or he just did it because I believe the woman instead of the man. And there's just like no evidence of anything. Same thing, although he's way above Kavanaugh. I'm not putting Kavanaugh and Jesus in the same. But we just seen this happen. But when Pilate gave him an opportunity, they tried to make up some stuff, but nothing could stick. And he says, well, what evil has he done? But all they could do is just yell back, crucify him. Well, what did he do? Who cares? Crucify him. They hated him. They hated him because he was righteous. They hated him because there was nothing wrong with him. So is it in the church today. The more righteous you are, the more holy you are, the more you walk with God, the more you're going to find Christians complaining about you, not liking you for whatever reason. As I said in a sermon a few weeks back, the closer you want to walk with the Lord, the less people there are that are going to walk that with you. But praise God, there are people that will walk it with you. Amen. Hallelujah. The work Jesus finished, which he said glorified the Father, he did it in our stead so we too could glorify the Father. When Jesus therefore had, as we read before, when he received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And in a sense, he's saying, okay, it's the next person to take over from here, which is the church, which us, what we're an expression of, from what started that day when Jesus anointed his church. Jesus finished being the perfect sacrifice. He'll never go to the cross again. He'll never have to walk this earth again as a common man. He will come and walk this earth again, but he'll do it as the risen Christ. He'll do it as the King of Kings. He'll do it as the Lord of Lords, and he is going to walk on this earth. That is the second coming of him, when he comes to walk again. Praise God. But these words, "it is finished," that Jesus spoke, have great significance for you and great significance for me. They mean that you and I are to be finished with something as well. And Jesus just didn't finish something for his benefit, nor the benefit of the Father, but he did it for the benefit of mankind. Jesus finished his suffering. He finished being forsaken by the Father. He finished being the perfect sacrifice. He breathed his last. And now all that was left was 2 more days ago. And all that was left to complete his work on earth was to be raised from the dead. And really, that's what we celebrate every single Sunday. The Lord's Day is Sunday. It's a celebration of, you don't have to wait for this one Sunday every year they call Easter. Every single Sunday is that resurrection Sunday. Praise God. And the other 6 days out of the week are resurrection days as well. Praise God. He's a resurrected Lord. Jesus rose from the grave and left sin and shame behind so we can be finished with it. He left death and hell in the grave so we can be finished with that. Praise God. Isn't that awesome? When we got saved, before we got saved, we were on our way to hell. Doesn't matter what the philosophers say and all the smart people in our day, we were on our way to hell. And the instant we got saved, we were done having to go to hell. I like that. That was a good deal. I was one of those that didn't like the idea of hell. I remember one time as a young boy, and I saw my little brother Dino, who was really little then, and this is one of these moments in my life where I knew there was, you know, God was, I always believed it was God was real, but I just sensed, I don't even know where they come from because I wasn't born again, but I had this grief in my heart for my brother Dino. That's what we call him, Dino. I looked at him and I'm like, oh, I don't want him to go to hell. And I was like grieved over that. And just times of visitation, I guess, from the Lord, but I was always very conscious there was hell. So I love that whole idea. I give my life to Jesus Christ. I don't have to go there anymore. Praise God. I'm finished with that. You know, one of the biggest problems with modern day evangelism is the absence and lack of preaching that declares when a man or woman gets saved, you're also done with your old life. Amen. When Jesus said it is finished, he's meaning to us, you are finished with that old life you were living. That's enough of that. You're done now. Praise God. And he just doesn't pat us on the back and say, okay, get out there. He gives us his power. He gives us his resurrection power. So wherever you can go in this world, wherever nation you live in, no matter how vile it is, the blood to wash the vilest sinner clean, how vile it is, he'll give you power. Praise God. So you can be finished with the old life. But if that's never preached, people think they can hang on to that. And that's mass confusion. That's hard to sort out all of that stuff. We need to be finished with the life of sin when we get saved. We need to be finished with the bondage that we're in. And we need to be finished with being the Lord over our own life and let Him be the Lord. There is a lot of emphasis on the heaven part of salvation. I like the heaven part of salvation too. But there is a life that man has to be finished with. Some people just never quite make up their mind to do that. They never quite make up their mind and want to hang on to a couple trinkets, a couple trophies from the past. They won't let go. They want the heaven, but they don't really want to be necessarily finished with that old life. So therefore, they don't really have a need for resurrection power. The more you want to live for God, the more you will recognize the need for His power in your life. Amen. When people don't get that, it's because they're not striving. I can understand when you're a young believer, but as you grow and mature and you have that zeal and desire for more of God in your life, that's when you realize that you need you have this power from God, this resurrection power that He gives us. Jesus finished His life so you and I could get started. One of the favorite things that Paul says, besides a bunch of other favorite things, is he says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind. That's that old finished life. And reaching forth unto those things which are before me. To me, that's speaking of a life I'm done with. And it speaks of a life I started. I'm done with that. I'm done going that way. And here's the path I'm on. Now I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You will never walk in resurrection power if you never be finished with that old man. Just kind of like stuck between two places. One foot on that side of the fence and one foot in the world and one foot in the church. I wonder if maybe you can have one foot in the world and one foot in the church, but I don't know if you can really have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. I don't know if that quite works. You have to be in it. Amen. Praise God. You know, there has to be a death before there can be a resurrection. But in a scripture I read in Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. It almost seems like it's reversed. It seems like it should say the fellowship of His suffering and His death and then His resurrection power, because there's got to be a death before there can be a resurrection. But the answer to that is because He's the resurrection. He suffered the death. Praise God. We get to start off resurrected. Isn't it awesome? We definitely have to face suffering because He did. But we can't suffer to save ourselves. He did that for us. He finished that work for us. And He gave us this resurrection power. And then the fellowship of suffering and the conformity to death followed. Resurrection power is the gift of God. When we get saved, you know, salvation is free. Jesus is the free gift. Well, the resurrection power goes with that. It's the free gift of God. You can't earn it. He gives it to you when you repent. This comes merely by acknowledging your sinful state before God and repenting of it. When this is genuine, then the spiritual birth happens. And I just preached on that a few weeks ago. Then comes the power to say, I am finished with the old life. Even more than saying it, but living it out. Then starts this new life in Christ. So when you and I, wrapping that all, bringing it to simple, when you and I got born again, we had a finish with an old life and a start of a new life. That should be what our focus is. That is, should be our agenda for the rest of our life. Resurrection power is for now. Not just to raise us in the end to go to heaven. It'll be there also. If you don't live it now as a Christian, I doubt if it'll be there at the end either. You live in the power now, and you'll go out in the power at the end. But if you don't have it now, what makes you think it'll be there in the end? Being born again is a miracle of that resurrection power. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Praise God, we get to finish being dead. It's like if you're dead, how can you be finishing anything? I don't know, but I got finished being dead. I'm done being dead. Praise God. The evidence of Christ in me is the manifestation of the resurrection power of God in me. Without that, you would just see me. You would see me trying to struggle and get through a Christian life, probably blowing it over and over. But because you can look at any of us and see us living this life of righteousness and holiness and zeal and love for God, it's because of the resurrection power working so plentiful in our lives. This is the delight and pleasure of God, to see men and women who are controlled and destroyed by sin walk in victory over their life of sin, bringing glory to Him. Just as Jackie rejoiced that she got to share with her papu, that means grandpa, by the way, if I said that right. And what? Papu? Okay, papu. All right. If I'm going to say it, I should say it right. But anyways, the Lord's like that towards everybody. The most despised and despicable person in the world, the Lord loves them more than you and I love the person we love the most. And it's His pleasure to save people. It's His pleasure. When Jesus went to the cross, and they're all weeping and mourning there, and they're seeing the death, but the Father seeing the resurrection power that's going to flow out of that crucifixion, that'll still be good 2,000 years later. We can still tap into it. It hasn't lost any strength. In fact, it's probably gained some strength and some momentum as more and more come into the kingdom of God through the ages, through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. The resurrection power was just, if the resurrection power was just to take us to heaven, then I guess He would have just took us to heaven. But He left us here to be a living testimony of the power of God for this world. We all have a testimony for this world to see, and that was that I was once lost in sin, but now I'm free in Christ. Once I was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. Remember what Jesus said in John 17:4. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. The resurrection power is given to us so we can say the same thing on our way out of here. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I bet you when you read that scripture, our natural mind thinks I'll never finish. And we just automatically think that. But if Jesus finished His work, Paul said He finished His work, you and I have a work, and we can actually finish it. Amen. I don't have any specific date in mind. I don't have any date on the calendar that the Lord ever told me. But I'm believing one day I'm going to finish what the Lord has called me to do. That doesn't mean that I'll quit talking about Him. That doesn't mean that I'll quit preaching about Him. Doesn't mean I'll quit living for Him. But the specific work He gave me to do, and He gave you to do, we can actually finish it. Why? Because Jesus finished His. Praise God. This resurrection power made me a witness, and it makes me and it makes you an effective at demonstrating that Christ lives. It is a living testimony that I have victory and you have victory over sin and have victory over shame. So there is yet coming a time for every one of us where there is a final finish here on earth. I want to ask you this morning, have you come to the place in your life, almost feel like I'm giving an altar call for salvation here. Again, I'm looking at a bunch of saved people, but have you accepted that in your heart? That you've really finished with the old life? Or is there still some things in there And when I'm sure every one of us would probably say, well, there's some things hanging there. You know, and I get that, I understand that, and we just constantly put those before the Lord, and we just keep on asking the Lord to deal with us. But I'm talking more of these things are bearing on you, and these things just can't seem to get out of your life. And you really, really know that you need to be done with that old life, but you just can't seem to step out. For some reason, it's like the line is there, and you want to, but you just like, so hesitant, and you just can't quite step over it. Well, this morning, I'm offering you, well, I don't know if I can offer anything, but you have the opportunity to say, I'm done. I'm finished with the old life. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden you got to come to some rate of high performance for the Lord. It starts by being finished. Being done. Then you come into the will of God. Then you come into the resurrection power of God. Then you can go forward with God's agenda. We're so hesitant at sometimes to step over because we're thinking in our mind, well, this is what I got to do now, and this is what I got to do now, and I got, you know, I think of this preacher, now I got to be like him, or this super saint of God, I got to be like them. And it's like, just be finished. Let's start with being finished. Just like Jesus did. He got finished with what he did. And then from that, the life flowed to people, flowed to the church. So I'm asking you this morning, anybody in here need to be finished with that old life? Keeps on calling you for some reason. You keep on finding yourself wandering back in there, and you've never really made up your mind to be done and finished with that old life of no good. Anybody? I'm just going to open up the altars if you want to come up and just talk to the Lord. I'll just go to the piano here, play Show Me Your Way, and then you just have an altar call right there in your pew. If you want to come up here, you can do that. All right?